I have with me Jackie Frost, who is from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'd like for Jackie to give her name, I've given her name, her address and zip code, and if she will, her phone number, and then to tell us what the conference means to her and any other information she would like. To tell when she became aware, or if she's having a good time here, and her occupation, her official status here, whatever she would like. Jackie.
My name is Jackie Frost. My address is 5017 Malibu Drive in Charlotte, North Carolina. My zip code is 28215. My home phone number is 704. Area code 535-0290. My office number is 704-333-5101. I'm 30 years of age, and I'm Director of Purchasing and Import for Carolina Color and Chemical Company in Charlotte. When I first became aware of the National Conference for International Women's Year, I was impressed by the fact that Congress had allocated $5 million and had officially recognized their need to have a plan for the next decade for women so that their legislation can effectively manage and control and direct the services and the lives of women in the United States. The first thing I did in International Women's Year was to prepare for the state meeting and run as a delegate to which I was elected. And to me, one of the symbolic things early was the run from Seneca Falls to Houston. When the torch relay passed through Charlotte, I aided two young women, young wonderful women who were track runners at UNCC, Karen Popp, who headed it, and her roommate, and offered to help them get information out, get telephones, to get people, and we had the largest crowd, Catherine East told us, who was the IWI observer there, of any torch relay run rally in the country. I ran 2.5 miles and have been running ever since. I've tried to run 3 times a week, and my doctor approves, and each time I run remembering the run from Seneca Falls to Houston. We had a marathon runner, a young man named Frank Parker, who was leaving our bus to go run a 28-mile marathon. We had men, women, a 4-year-old child, all races, from about 6 in the morning to 1 o'clock at the rally at UNCC. It was an exciting event, and in keeping, when I got down here, I was asked to carry the flag when the torch relay was brought in from Overlook Park on Friday at 1 p.m. to open the conference. And in the delegation in front was Bella Abzug, the commission chair, Billie Jean King, whose heel bruised my instep at one point, and Susan B. Anthony, the grandniece of Susan B. Anthony, who linked the past to the present. The speakers ranged from every age and every race at the rally while the rain was pouring on us. And Time Magazine photographer Ross Solomon told me that this was the most moving event that she had seen so far in the conference. It truly was moving in a lot of ways. I'm a delegate from North Carolina.
I need to ask you perhaps your organizational activity and how perhaps you became aware of a woman of women's issues and move to the organizational.
In 1972, I met the then Southern Regional Director of the National Organization for Women, Judy Lightfoot, who asked me to convene a chapter in Charlotte, North Carolina. There was a young chapter in Winston-Salem, and now was just beginning to get organized in the South. I convened the chapter in Charlotte, and a year and a half later was asked to run for Southern Regional Director, which I did, and served in that capacity for 3.5 years. My major role in the women's movement has been in organizing the southern states. I had 14 southern states, the District of Columbia, and when I took over, we had roughly 6,000 members. At the end of the term, we had about 14,000 throughout the 14 southern states. The EI ratification was just beginning. The backlash from Phyllis Schlafly and the Stop ERA just begun in early 73, and I helped both in the Ratification Council in Washington and trips throughout the South urging people to organize around the issue of ERA. We took in each state an assessment of areas where there was very little activity on the ERA. No grassroots support, very few letters being written, and we organized NOW chapters in those areas. Florida was notably one of the most successful in turning around several votes and in defeating this anti-ERA legislators. That method continued through the years from 1974 elections to 76 elections, and one by one we narrowed the vote margin in each legislative session. In North Carolina, we lost in the Senate in 1973 by two vote changes. Again, in 1975, the House had a very bitter defeat. But in 1977, we won in the House, and in the Senate, we again had two vote switches, which stopped ERA again in North Carolina. I am committed more than any other issue to ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment in the United States. To that effect, Laurie Wilson, who was a senator in Florida, the sponsor of the legislation, whom I know well, discussed with me at the torch relay and afterwards a gathering of the unratified states here in Houston. We will meet Sunday night for a strategy session among ourselves on the ratification attempt in the next 15 months. We have asked three members from each state to come, and at that meeting, we will develop common problems, common solutions. We will evaluate what we did wrong, what to avoid again, what political pressures to use, how to organize effective grassroots support in a magnificent exchange. We will not be led by the national organizations, which have given us invaluable money, but we're going to talk about how to get as Barbara Jordan said, how to get the foot soldiers out to get the job done.
This is tonight you'll be talking.
Sunday night at 9 p.m. in the Florida Suite in room 3030. In this hotel in the Hyatt Regency.
Just the delegates or for the public or?
We have asked each delegation chair to nominate three people to come to our meeting, and we have the master list here, and they are all committed to come at 9 p.m. and are very excited about doing so. The only ones we had problems with were Utah, Missouri, Mississippi, and Alabama. The delegations are predominantly Stop ERA. So what we did is our typical feminist connection. We passed around a sheet among the at-large delegates and said, pro at-large delegates, sign in. And we got lists of all of the pro at-large delegates and found out the names in Oklahoma, in Utah, again in Alabama, Mississippi, of the key people who were either serving in the legislature, lobbying on the Hill, or organizing the grassroots support. It'll be a dynamite meeting, and I hope that this can be reflected again on tape. I think that is my major purpose in getting this together. I came down here with that effort to do so, and Florida has the same burning need because for several years, coming so close, we feel in Florida, North Carolina, in South Carolina, Nevada, all the states, we have a lot of common problems. In my opinion, one of the key things we must do to ratify the ERA is not only to get support from our elected officials, from the governors of the states, from the local mayors, from the official elected and appointed political figures in the state, but we must take the word to every single community in every state. The plan that I think is necessary is women who will only go out to a church meeting, to a PTA meeting, or to a YWCA meeting, who don't have any child care in those communities, can come to a session to discuss the ERA 10 months ahead of time. A caravan is an excellent idea if it can be funded. A Winnebago was given to Virginia last year to go through the state. Indiana used a caravan. Each caravan stopped, locally controlled, And sometimes they met in a home, sometimes in a church basement, sometimes in the Y, and they brought women and men in to discuss many issues, their needs with health care, with child care, with home extension service, with City Hall, whatever their concerns were, and they interjected how the ERA would make a difference in their lives. Then at the close of the meeting, each member was plugged into a political campaign at that year, which was 1976, for pro-ERA representatives. When the representatives were elected by these women who had never worked in a political campaign before, the men knew what their work meant, and they did not forget them. There were farm women, rural women, professional women, homemakers, black, white, Chicana, Mexican American, any ethnic group, and it was truly a grassroots movement for the ERA in Indiana, and defeated a state in which the John Birch Society was early on one of the key political forces in the state. I think we can do it in North Carolina, in Nevada, even in Utah, with the professed Mormon opposition to women's equality. The second approach is the organizations which on paper support the ERA, but whose members do not get the word out, notably the teachers in North Carolina. We need fact sheets specifically for teachers. We need to get them out into the classrooms. They need to be presented to them in a fashion that is simple and that is direct. And at that point, taking their membership lists, an ERA organizational coalition must work with them to organize the members to do one or two or three tasks. And as we say in NOW, you don't have to write one letter, you can write several letters, a letter each week on a specific issue. I do believe also one other item that with the kind of organization that we need and the money we need to do it and the foot soldiers to do the work, we also need to release some of our organizational turf. There is, in some coalitions, and I think history will show it, some problems with organizations taking a certain area of the ratification effort and not wishing another organization to come in on that effort. And we must, as Barbara Jordan said, put aside rancor, put aside bitterness, put aside jealousies, and get it all together. We have a short period of time to do it, and I believe, like Betty Ford, that if we did that, we could ratify it by March 22, 1979, and not have the extension. This conference, to me, is the beginning of really a new horizon for women, a new awareness of women. And in my personal life, I think that I can impact the decision of at least 10 people. And if every woman here could take home the message to 10 friends, and those 10 friends could take it to 10 more, and those 10 more could pick one issue out that we could ratify the ERA, we could pass every one of our issues that we will have in the national action within 8 months. As Barbara Jordan said, a difference should be made.
So you have renewed energy and faith because of this and new determination. I can see it in your eyes. It won't show on the tape, but I can see it in your eyes. Is that so?
That's very much so. Although there's a political swing to the right in this country, if not a full shift that may be irreversible, the goals of the women's movement are right, they are just, and every American knows it. And as for women who question our issue and are unclear on what the ERA will do to their children and their families, such as the young woman who at the microphone last night said, "I want you to know that we are unsure what this will do," and her sign said, "There's a better way than the ERA." If someone could get to her one-on-one just in this manner, 10 for 10, I call it. We need a plan called 10 for 10 when we come out of here. And it's a good slogan. It would work. And she could be reached. Majority of the women who come to the legislatures on Stop ERA could be reached. And they could understand that it will only enhance them, it will make life different for their daughters, and it will release all of the blocks that sit on the heads of young girls as they go into the classroom and feel they can only become a nurse or they can only become a secretary or only what they see in their horizon. We will have role models after role models after role models for young girls and young boys. Little boys can cry, little boys can become cooks, little boys can become artists, and they don't have to play football. And little girls, bless their hearts, can become whatever they want. That is the revolution that is ongoing, and it will never stop.
Thank you from a very able young lady on the move.